gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated for him.
Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone who travels off the island heading into the greater Seattle area has their personal sense of courtesy and sense of giving for neighbors put to the test every time on I-5. Every single day is a struggle. From smooth sailing at the speed limit in Skagit County to constant backups in Marysville, Everett, and then the Boeing exits, and that's before you even get to the 405 exit. It only gets worse from there. Every day, thousands and thousands of drivers have their grace, their lack of grace, their selflessness, their selfishness put to the test when it comes to getting to their destinations faster than anyone else. But it's not just merging onto highways or leaving room for other cars. Who is first and who is last confronts us constantly in our lives with challenges to our patience and our love for others. How exactly are we to meet those challenges? Well, today, Jesus sits down his disciples and teaches a rather profound lesson that helps them and us understand the greatness of the nature of greatness. Now, over the last 11 years now, I have gotten to know all of you quite well. And I know that there are very few, if any, here who seek the limelight, who wants to receive public acclaim for your actions. None of us really want to strive to be famous, even in our own small community. Fame is just not for everyone. For the most part, I think we are very content here to just live the island life and be left alone by the outside world. Privacy, yes. Not fame-seeking, that's pretty much us. And yet we cannot escape Jesus' words, "If anyone would be first." There is more like us. This is more like us, whether deserved or not. Who among us does not like preferential treatment? Getting ahead of others, pulling rank on those around us, taking precedent over our peers. They all may be some kind of subliminal quest for greatness. Now, Jesus' disciples were coming off a real letdown. In a village just a few miles back, they had failed in spectacular fashion to exorcise a demon from the possessed boy, clearly frustrated because they had been commissioned to do that very thing, and yet they were unable to help. They could not do it. They were not as great as they thought. We know from last week that Jesus comes in and saves the day, casting out the demon and restoring the boy back to his father. Afterward, Jesus went with his disciples, traveling through the region or territory of Galilee. Walking along, small talk was one way to pass the time. embarrassment and bruised egos was clearly not what they wanted to discuss. It was better to think about the positive aspects of the power given to them, and it was great power. And soon they discussed who was the greatest among them. Jesus takes that opportunity to remind them that he is on a supreme mission of servanthood. Not many days ahead, the Son of Man would be delivered into the hands of men. He would not resist, and they would kill him. And after they killed him, he would rise in 3 days. The disciples were confused. They did not understand all this talk of death. Hesitant and fearful, they let it go, not willing to talk about suffering and crosses and dying. One would think that such a prediction of servanthood and trauma for Jesus would have changed the subject of their conversation. But the bickering about their own greatness continued. Does it change our conversation? After all, we are baptized into Jesus, therefore we are linked by that baptism to this very trauma that Jesus experienced, his serving us by suffering and death, as well as rising again. But servanthood may be the farthest thing from our minds, letting our egos yearn to be first over others. Arriving at Capernaum, probably at Peter's house, Jesus asks, "What were you discussing on the way?" Jesus just put them on the spot. He knew all about their misguided discussion about greatness. It's something that we all understand. Our sinful nature constantly striving to be first over others. We know it's on the minds of the disciples because they were people just like us. We know what it's like to walk into the walk-in clinic there on Goldie Road only to see 10 people waiting in line and their frustration of having to wait. Don't they know that I'm sicker than the rest of them? We know what it's like to be heading to the only one checker that's open at SARS only to have someone with a full cart come out of nowhere and get in line ahead of us. We know what it's like to work hard, to learn new skills, only to be passed over by someone else. We grumble and complain because we want to finish first. Cut the line. No waiting. Finish above all others. We want to be first. See, this then presents a good teachable moment for both of us and the disciples. After all, like we said earlier, we are all the same. Jesus sits down, he gathers his disciples around him so they can hear him clearly, and he asks what they were discussing along the road. When Jesus asks this type of question, you know that there is some new teaching that is about to follow. And here it is. If anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all. Well, that can't be right. Taking the last place, serving others, why, that is completely contrary to everything our selfish world is all about. A total reversal of the dominant ideas of rank and greatness. If we do this, how are we to win? How are we to progress? How can we be great if we are serving and setting ourselves in last place in order to help others to be first? Letting every car merge in front of us, letting every grocery shopper go before us, we will always be last and we will constantly be late to the places we need to be. You can almost see Jesus hanging his head and shaking it in frustration. He talked about servanthood, serving all the way to the cross, and they continued to argue about greatness. They didn't get it. And neither do we. We have grown comfortable with getting ahead and being first. And while, like the disciples, we will never learn the discipline of proper love for our neighbor while arguing amongst ourselves into positions of greatness. So Jesus employs an object lesson. He sees a small boy, a toddler, in the house and calls him to his side. Gesturing to the boy, Jesus says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is tough for the inflated ego to deal with. Whoever receives, listens, and fulfills the needs and serves a little child, says Jesus, serves me and the Father who sent me. The child is Jesus' object for learning the lesson of true greatness, becoming last and servant of all. The small child, or the child, is small, has wants, needs, a cry that cannot be ignored. And the child, once you do for him what needs to be done, once you serve him, will he ever repay you or return the favor? No way. Those little toddlers instantly forget and they move on. There you are. You worked. You provided. You gave. And you get no thanks because you dared to place him first and yourself last. But doing this honors our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father who sent him. Becoming first by serving from a position of the last is the very fabric of the new world that our Lord ushered in when he descended very low, even to death on the cross. Casting aside the brilliance of the light of glory of heaven, setting aside all his power, assuming the form of a suffering servant, reshaping life here on earth. From selfish ambition to selfless serving and giving. Traveling to Seattle on I-5, you can see it all. Single drivers using the carpool lanes, some drivers acting like bullies, forcing their way in and out of traffic on their way. But you also see those who are willing to let cars easily merge, sometimes two or three at a time. And we see it all in our everyday life, our community, our church, and our homes. All of us have an opportunity to put the words of Jesus into practice. If anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all. It's the way to live. It's the way to win. It's the way to be first. Amen.